Today on Real Life Radio.
At a time like this when everything's shaking, what in the world? Earthquakes in these last 9 days all around the world. Big ones too. Big ones. Crazy stuff going on. What are you going to do? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High can take refuge there and be at peace and abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Let me tell you about a resource that encourages you, comforts you, and helps strengthen your faith even in the worst of times. Trusting God When Times Are Tough, written by Ed Heinzen. It offers solid biblical truths that'll help you find the peace you need no matter the disappointment, the temptation, or the crisis you may find yourself in right now. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When Hope Seems Lost. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how hopelessness is a very painful thing to endure. You see, hope, or the absence of hope, is a driving force in our lives. The faithfulness of God cannot always be seen in our lives. But when our security is shaken and hope seems lost, there are reasons to hope again. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that real hope can only be realized only when we give our lives over to the Lord. Hope can be restored when we finally understand our total need for Him. Now with his message called When Hope Seems Lost, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, Psalm 91 verse 1 says this, He who dwells in the secret place. Ooh, don't you like secret places? Remember when we were kids and our parents used to throw like the tablecloth over or the sheet over the tablecloth? Did you ever have that? Or my dad brought home one time a Maytag refrigerator box. Remember that? We took it outside. We were playing in it. So cool. We got bored with that, then nailed it to a skateboard and went down the hill. Nobody can see us. Kids love that stuff. You want to go home, bless your kids, build a little fort. God knows our hearts. Listen to this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't tell me that you don't like to just feel all cuddled up. God cuddles you up with His word and His presence and His peace. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will put my trust. Isn't that a great word? Come on, church, you need to be like that. We need to be like that. Well, Jack, yeah, whatever. Hey, listen, write that verse down on your checkbook. Put it on your statement. Staple it to your friend, to your forehead or your friend's forehead. That's an awesome verse. At a time like this when everything's shaking, what in the world? Earthquakes in these last 9 days all around the world. Big ones too, big ones. Crazy stuff going on. What are you going to do? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High can take refuge there and be at peace and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Man, I love that. I love that. You are about to experience the faithfulness of God if you're going through a dry season, a boring season, a half-hearted season. God is stirring you up and He's saying, no more of this half-heartedness. I got places to go, Jack, and I'm taking you with me. Let's go. Oh man, come on. Jeremiah, I love this verse. It's one of the first few verses I memorized as a believer. It's good. Are you ready? Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words, listen, your words were found and I did eat them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Why? Because he says, for I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. You know who the Lord of hosts is? The Lord of hosts is the Lord of the armies, the Lord of battle. The Lord of the spiritual battles of our lives says to us, hey, you come over here and you dwell under the shadow of my wings. Okay? And then I want you to just, Jack, here. You take a look. Come here. Okay, what? Here, I want you to stay right here. I'm the Lord of this war. And I want you to stay right here. And oh, here, by the way, eat this. And while you're hanging on to your spiritual daddy's knees, that's a great place to be. You know, when little kids want refuge and shelter, where do they go? They go right to your daddy's knees, and they usually peek right between daddy's legs right there. You know how amazing that must feel? Daddy, that guy scares me over there. Well, you come right here, you get right between my knees. Little kid's looking out. Can you imagine what that little kid feels like? God is saying, I want you to feel like that. And I want your hope to be bolstered in that. And I want you to eat this. What is it? It's my word. Because when you eat my word, you will start bubbling up with joy because you will find out from my word, my name and your name. I will know you. It'll be personal. Also this, look at verse 32. Things that Peter heard. Verse 31, excuse me. I just want to touch on that word sift, and then we'll go to verse 32. That he may sift you as wheat. Satan has asked to sift Peter as wheat. You guys, why do bad things happen to good people? Somebody wrote a book. Why do bad things happen to good people? And then somebody wrote a Christian book on the title. Why do bad things happen to good people? And the answer is because there are no good people. So listen, check this out, you guys. This world is messed up. But God's faithful. God has given us his word. When Satan says, I'm going to sift you as wheat, when hardships come into life, when difficulties come. You guys, here's the big thing in my life, and if it works for you, try it out. Works for me. Lord, I don't understand what just happened. It could be a word, a phone call. It could be a truck, a train. I don't know what it is. What was that? Lord, I don't understand. If this is from you, give me the wisdom and the grace to get through it. That's all I ask. Give me the wisdom and the grace to get through it. If this is not from you, then I want to remind you, Lord, someone's picking on me. If it's that old cloven foot, red horned, pitchfork devil, then deal with him, Lord. Lord, you rebuke him. But if it's from you, give me the grace to go through it. And then I let the outcome be of God, because Satan desires to sift us. And then look at verse 32, power. You're about to see the power of God. You say, Jack, I've been a Christian a long time. I've not seen the power of God. Honestly, the reason why you haven't is because you have not been sifted. You've had a really cruise control Christianity. You want to know why it's been like that? Because it's been ineffective. It's been non-threatening to the dark side. See, Peter's a great weapon in the hand of God for glory. And look at this, verse 32. It's almost hard to believe, isn't it? Jesus says to him, I've prayed for you that you'd have a really awesome fishing business. No. I've prayed for you, Peter, that you'd have your own stretch donkey with black tinted windows and, you know, and everybody just calls you the Pope. Peter the Pope. Pope Peter. No. He says, I've prayed for you that the greatest thing in the universe, which is connected to your hope, he says, I pray that your faith does not fail. Jesus is praying for Peter. And I thought about power for a moment. How do you think about power? What do you think about power? When Jesus prays, he's actually empowering Peter, and he's telling Peter, can you imagine when Peter goes into this battle, church, listen, when you go into this battle, when this thing comes to your life next week, next month, 10 years from now, or today, Jesus says, I've prayed for you. Listen, Jesus says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. That's awesome to realize. You tell your kids, hey kids, go to school, rock for Jesus. I'm praying for you today. Guess what? Your kid will remember the whole day that their mommy or their daddy's praying for them. It is a radical sense of encouragement. But you got to be in the fight to see the power. No fight, no power. Why would God give you power if you're not in the fight? And I thought about power. Last year, we went to Niagara Falls on vacation. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? I honestly thought, this is a waste of money. And we fly over getting ready to land. That's it? Oh, man. I got to put on a Jesus face for this trip. How much is the dollar to the Canadian? And you guys, God just had a plan. We got there, drove up there. Have you ever been there? And you get to go underground and then behind the falls? You get to go behind the water. Did you know that? You get to go behind the water. You're walking down the hallway in this cave. And you walk in there and the guy, and then you come to this hallway. It's off the main hallway. And first thing you notice is the coldness of your breath, everything, the wind starts pulling you and the wind goes. You could be blind and follow that wind and it's sucking. It's like, what? And you go and there's a hole at the end of the hallway and you walk up to it. It's the backside of the falls. The falls are going off and they're only like 20 feet away from you going down. Like that. And you walk up to it and it's like, I mean, it's terrifying. It's like, this is cool. This is great. Let's get out of here. Power. I remember being in the middle of a desert, California desert, and saw a train coming. We were just young guys, about 15. Oh, cool, cool. Train. Let's put a penny on the track. Standing there. And the guy's honking in the middle of the desert. Well, he sees us. And I'm thinking, we're standing like so close to the track. And when that train hit, and that guy laid on that horn, when that train hit, I did not know that trains going that fast suck stuff underneath them. And everything went this way. And it's like, whoa, and man, we ran. Have you ever been near something that's powerful? It's like, whoa. You know what, you guys? Those are things that God shows us that we might be able to relate to the power of his word. The power of the word of God. We doubt it. We don't use the word of God enough in our lives, which is a shame that we should know that power. When you're attacked with depression or when you're attacked with criticism or somehow attacked by whatever, that you use the word of God. When somebody tries to rip you off and rob you in business, and the temptation is, man, I oughta, calm down, take a walk and pick up the Bible. What's the Bible gonna do? You'd be surprised. It's all powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, says the scripture. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Point number two this morning, verse 32, and we'll just go very quickly on this. He says in verse 32 about being restored. Your hope is about to be restored, my friend, when you feel or seem like hope is lost. It says in verse 32, and when you have returned to me, will you mark that? This is your Jesus. When you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. How? Peter's going to learn all that. Jesus has been praying for your return, for my return, for us to return to him. And when you have returned, isn't it awesome that Jesus Christ is so benevolent and so kind that he doesn't judge Peter? The word returned is this, that he comes back. Peter, you're going to come back when you decide. And by the way, it's an amazing thing, church. Don't miss this. Jesus didn't prevent Peter from walking away. Listen, there was something in Peter, like there's something in you and I, that there's this vein within us that is stubborn. Jesus didn't say, Peter, I prayed for you. You wanted to leave me. You're going to be filled with a lot of doubt, but I put the stop on that. You guys, isn't it bizarre that God says, listen, when you've returned, strengthen your brethren, okay? There's something inside Peter that wanted to walk away. Is there something inside you that wants to walk away? Is he not able to keep you, Jude 24 says? Is he not able to come alongside you and draw you back? But he says something that's a time statement. It's a time word. When you return. You say, well, how long was Peter gone? You guys all know exactly how long Peter was gone. It's actually a matter of hours, wasn't it? It was during the arrest of Jesus Christ. Remember when they came up? We'll read about it in future weeks. Aren't you that Galilean that was with him? No, I don't even know him. Third time, rooster crows. Remember that? And then what happens? He went out and wept bitterly for having denied Jesus. And then after the resurrection, you guys remember Peter and John are running to the tomb? And John, who must have been, well, he obviously was faster than Peter. John got to the tomb first and stooped in and looked, and Peter must have been bigger and slower, and he had more inertia, because the Bible says that Peter, he comes running and couldn't stop and goes inside the tomb. He just goes, oh no, Jesus is gone. John's peeking in so cordially like, praise the Lord, Jesus is gone. Peter comes tumbling down the hill. Kaboom, 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 boom. He's gone. And Jesus said, when he had risen, go tell my disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. And Peter. That's what he said. You guys, if he'll do this for Peter, he'll do it for us. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor, I'm so far from God. Hot dog. Time to come back. I don't think he'll forgive me. It's what he does. Here's the question. When are you going to repent of it? When are you going to say, I've had enough of this? He's prayed for you that you'd come back. Look at this also. Expecting. He's been expecting you to return when he said, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. When? Didn't Jesus say in Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus, repent, go back to your first love, do it. Put God first. Stop staying up so late at night. Set your alarm for early. Get up out of bed. Read about me. Talk to me. Take a walk. Speak to me. Do it. Do it. Do it. You see, do I have to do that? Yeah, you know what? You actually do have to do that. Hear me out. You have to do that. I thought I didn't have to do anything. Let me tell you something. When Jesus gets a hold of your heart and wakes you up and he wants to get you closer, you have to do that. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. You can sit it out. You can sleep through it. You'll be the most unhappy camper for the rest of your life. But when he says, Jack, follow me. Oh, you have to do it. You got to. You know what I'm saying? You can say, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm going to stay in bed. Go ahead. You're not going to go back to sleep. I've already tried all that. And then he's been waiting. Verse 32, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. That speaks about waiting. He's been waiting. In this crisis of Peter's life, it's amazing to me that Jesus was all over it, practically, prophetically, and patiently. He was all over Peter, waiting. And then he says there in that verse, strengthen my brethren. This is a great word. Of course, Luke, remember what Luke's occupation was? Anybody? Doctor. So he uses a medical term. Sterizo. A medical term meaning to set fast or to take a broken bone and to set it up, to put it back in place, put it in a cast. Isn't that a great word? Jesus says, return to me. And when you do that, strengthen your brethren. Peter, when you come out of this battle of sense of hopelessness, guess what you're going to be able to do? You're going to go around and minister to people and reset their bones of faith. You're going to be able to speak to them and say, excuse me, but I'm not sure if you know who I am. My name's Peter. I kind of go by a nickname, the guy that denied Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can get up now and walk with Christ. Come back to me with something big, serious, because that thing you've been struggling with ain't nothing. And Peter would set the bone of the believers when they had fallen down. Church, we are not a church. We're playing games unless you and I are seeking out people to reset the bone. Don't give me any of that stuff. Well, you know what, church, and this and... Hey, listen. The Bible says if somebody that you and I know who used to once walk with Jesus, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, do you know somebody who used to once walk with Jesus and now they're not, or they're not so close with Jesus? Guess what the Bible demands of you and I, that we go hunt them down and shoot them. No. Dr. Walter Martin used to say, Christians are the only ones who shoot their own wounded. That's an indictment on the church. A real church, a real Christian, find somebody and says, listen, I want to help you set that bone of healing in your life. If we're not doing that, we have no right to call ourselves a church. We're just a fiasco. Third and final point, we'll end with this, verses 33 to 34. Real hope. Listen, when all hope seems lost, real hope will be infused. Before you put that gun to your head, before you make that decision, stop. And think for a moment. Number one, it's this. Real hope will be infused into our lives, but there are conditions that will happen only when we decide to give up our lives Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Announcement, I'm still alive, Jesus. There's still a whole lot of me calling the shots. What's implied? Jesus, I understand your passion. You see these 11 other losers over here? They'll never leave you. Me, on the other hand, we're tight. It's just Jesus and Peter. We're all right. We need to decide now to give up our lives to him. Also this, only when we face our total need for him will we be completely rescued. Listen to the firm sternness of this. Imagine Jesus' eyes. You guys, Peter's going to get a rebuke. He's had him before. But listen to this one. I wonder if you'll catch it. Verse 34, then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter. The meaning is, Peter, don't tell me what I already know. Every father who has a son knows this one. As sons reach a certain age and they'll turn and they'll tell their father the way things ought to go. I did that. And then when I came to, I decided to never do that again. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not playing games with you, Peter. I'm not being cute. You're going to deny me three times before you hear the rooster crow. A self-reliance upon us pulling this off. Deal with God in the end. Yeah, you think. You guys, it's been said that there's a difficulty to Christianity, and then there's the ease of Christianity. And I know it's late. Hang in there a second. Check this out. The hard and the easy things of Christianity. Go figure. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That's impossible. Take up his cross and follow me. How can we follow him? For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Well, we all desire to save our lives. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's crazy. I don't understand that. And then I start looking at his example and what he lived, and I begin to see what he means. It's still impossible for me. The impossible things of Christianity. How can that be possible? Man, I can't be a Christian. It's too hard. Look, honestly, I have to agree, but I'm not done. Look at Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Stop right there. Come to me, Jesus said. Why should I? It's too hard. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Well, now I am, because I found out I'm supposed to take up my cross and I'm supposed to be the last one in the line. I'm supposed to be dead first, and I don't get it, and I'm freaking out. Are you heavy laden? Yep. I will give you rest. Well, now we're talking. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that's easy. If you understand something, Christianity is an amazing, incredible relationship. When God says, take up your cross and follow me, read the fine print. I'll give you the power to do it. Oh, and by the way, as you follow me, guess what? Just when you think you can't make it and you lose all hope, my burden is easy. It's gentle. It's not heavy. You're not going to be heavy laden. It's a secret, and yet it's public. Know it. My friend, he is so committed to you. And then I want to leave you with this. It's an amazing thing. It's the fact that only then, when we open up to the real Jesus, this stuff happened. Go back to verse 32 for a second, you guys. I've prayed for you, number one, that your faith should not fail. I've prayed for you, number two, that when you return to me. I've prayed for you, number three, that you strengthen your brethren.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called When Hope Seems Lost. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, no matter what you're facing these days, God is there in the bad times as well as the good times. But when life suddenly takes a turn for the worst, you know God's there, but you still might be wondering if he really cares. We get this idea stuck in our heads that God has more important things to do than to help us with our problems. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We can rest in God's strength, and He's always nearer to us than we'll ever know. So if that sounds like you, our current featured resource is going to help and encourage you to gain a new outlook on life. It's called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's written by Ed Heinsohn. It's a resource packed with biblical truths on how to face a crisis with confidence and turn problems into opportunities. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's a must-read if you want to conquer your anxiety, your disappointment, or even feelings of guilt and failure. And we've made this book available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.